Good morning, Discovery Church. I want to welcome everyone to our live stream worship service. Hey, so this is what I'm here for, right, this morning. We're going to do some worship calisthenics. No, I'm just playing, all right? So I want to welcome everybody. So excited. My name's Pastor Antonio. I'm a part of the teaching team here, and I am so excited to be here with you this morning. I'm not sure about you, but I've been enjoying this week. I had a conversation with my son. My son's into Beyblades. I don't know if you have, an 8-year-old, 7-year-old, 6-year-old that's into Beyblades, but I don't know anything about it other than my son loves it. And so I get very competitive and I'm playing with my son and I beat him, right? So I have a rule. If I'm going to play with my son, I'm not going to go easy. And so I beat my son in 3 rounds and I'm like, "You're a loser." Yeah, I'm that dad. Don't judge me. I'm like, "You're a loser." And he's like, "Dad, do not call me a loser. Do not." I said, "But son, you lost." He says, "Do not. I know I lost, but do not call me a loser." And it was one of those moments, right, where I realized, like, who's really the parent, right? But it was one of those moments that I realized as a father, but not only as a father that practices, faith, right? The faith father, right? This faith journey where we all have these moments in our life where we need these redemptive moments. Right. And that's what this ICU series is all about. We're in a continuation. But it's not just about these redemptive moments, but it's also teaching us how do we build on these redemptive moments in our life. And so I'm so excited to hear from Pastor John this morning. And I know you are too. So you want to make sure while you're preparing to engage in worship, and we have a few announcements, I want you to do something. No matter what platform you're using, if you're watching me on Facebook, it gives you a few options to interact. So check who's in the chat, like talk to other people, tell them that you care about them, tell them that you see them, say hello. If you like what I'm saying, or you could push the heart button or the like button. So really this, although we are socially distancing, it doesn't always have to mean emotional distance. So this space was designed for us to engage. And as you know, at Discover, we care a lot about families and kiddos. And so we have an upcoming event that I'm really excited about. It is our Halloween costume party. Yes, yes, I know COVID's still going on, but we are still going to have a little bit of fun. And in just a few moments, I'm going to turn it to Kirsten, who's going to have some more information for us. But I'm really excited about that. Here's Kirsten.
Hi, my name is Kirsten Stabe, Kids and Family Ministry Director here at Discovery. So this year, we are excited to do a virtual costume dance party. So on October 31st from 4 to 4:30, we'll be hosting a virtual dance party. We will share our costumes.
I'm Luke, and I'm going to be a black hole for Halloween.
And then we'll get some wiggles out. Wiggles out. And then we'll share the story of the pumpkin gospel. We hope you can join us.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. It's going to be out of this world.
Thank you so much, Kirsten. That's amazing. I already have my outfit picked out. It's going to be virtual. It's going to be awesome. We're still social distancing, but it doesn't have to mean emotional distancing. Well, before we share a moment in worship, I want to just reiterate, right, the importance of engagement. And so as we're preparing our hearts for our virtual live stream worship service through an actual worship song, I want to encourage you to actually engage through the heart button, right? You can just push that 100 times, right? Or you can use your like button. But really, like I said, this space was designed for interaction where we can still feel like we are a part of the move. God is still on the move. God is still working. He's still working in the lives of people. People are still being saved. Lives are still being transformed. People are still being healed. God is still in the midst of our work, in the midst of our church. Another way that I want to encourage you too, as we go into our worship a worship song is to be thinking about how your life can be a continuation of worship through your generosity. And so online or through our website, there are ways that you can give. So I want to encourage you to practice an extension of your worship through giving. Our church wouldn't be able to function without your generosity. This church was built off of generous people. So I want to just thank you in advance for your generosity. In the early church and during worship, it would be a celebration as an opportunity to give. And so I don't want you to give reluctantly, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians. But I want to encourage you that this is a moment to be cheerful, that an extension of our worship is through giving in our generosity. And so I'm really excited for this worship song. It's called Building My Life, right? So it's called Building My Life. In just a few moments, I want you to engage with us. And thank you.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes. Every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show. show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Well, good morning. We are in the middle of a 35-day journey to revive faith. And this last week, we crossed the halfway mark. And by the way, it's not too late to get in on the rest of this journey. We're talking about it in our small groups. We have a daily devotional. If you have not gotten in on the daily devotional, just text the word Devo to our text or prayer line. If you haven't gotten in on a small group yet, text the word group to the text to prayer line, and we're going to get you in a group. Now, last week, I mentioned, almost in passing, a little phrase. I called it the thumbprint of God. Now, in the Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, he, talking about God, he has set eternity, he has set eternity on the human heart. Meaning that every man, woman, and child on this entire planet has the thumbprint of God. This evidence, this imprint that there's something more out there, that there's something more to the universe. It's a clue that there's something more out there, but it is also a clue or evidence that there's something more in here. You know, the human experience can be is marked by this longing and desire to figure out if is there something more to life, but the human experience also is very much marked by this notion, this sense, or this sneaky suspicion that there's more to this life. Not just to life in general, but there's more to this life, that this life, my life, has purpose. There's the sense that my life has meaning. We all live with this notion that deep down inside, I am valuable or significant, and dare I say, even in view of all of my mistakes and all of my failures and all of my faults, that I matter. The ancients have called this whole notion the Imago Dei. And this comes from the book of Genesis. That in the book of Genesis, God says, in the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them in the image of God. You and I are the Imago Dei. We've been made in the image of God. We're image bearers. That thumbprint means that every man, every woman, every child, everybody has intrinsic value. Now, why would God leave this thumbprint on our life? In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, it says that God did this so that we would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. Why did God put an imprint, a clue, or these evidence to make us want to try to figure out if he's out there or if this has value? He did this so that we would find him. And again, not just find that he's something that exists out there, but that in a restored relationship with the Creator God, you and I would be complete, that we would be and discover our value. Now, honestly, for most of us, this is the other thing that marks the human experience. For most of us, we find it hard to get that value or that Imago Dei confirmed through God, and particularly when there are a lot more readily available and convenient options around us to give us that needed confirmation. And what I'm talking about is I'm talking about people. Is that around your life and my life, we are surrounded by people who look like they ought to be able to confirm our value, our significance, our purpose, our meaning, and that we matter. We look in the eyes of people, and unfortunately for most of us, we find ourselves in the habit of being in relationships for the primary purpose of confirming our own identity. Subtly, we begin, maybe not intentionally at the beginning, but we begin to treat relationships as tools. to confirm our purpose and our meaning and value. This is why we all fall into the trap of seeking affirmation and seeking affection and seeking approval from people. We find ourselves caught in this trap of seeking approval, affection, and affirmation from people because we so deeply and desperately want someone to confirm that we matter, that we're valuable, that there's a thumbprint of God on our life. And unfortunately, people are ill-equipped to do that. Nobody, no human being has the ability to fill the void or the thumbprint that only God's thumb should fill. Now, some of us have some unique attributes. Some of us have some unique abilities that make it seem like maybe we're going to get that. Some of us have beauty. Some of us have charm or skills, or some of us are just hard workers. And for some of us, it looks like if we work a little harder, if we leverage our attributes, we can get a little bit of that approval, affection, and affirmation. The problem is that it does salve it for a moment, but it's only temporary. And that temporary approval only fuels the fire for more of it. And it's never enough. And you know, I think we see this. It's why we love following. It's why we love buying those magazines at Fred Meyer in the checkout counter. It's why we follow the blue check marks on social media. It's because we have this notion and this idea that maybe somebody with greater attributes, with more money, more skill, more beauty than me, can finally get the thing that we all long for. But watch it, and you do. We all love to watch the train wrecks of, you know, beautiful people with lots of money and big houses and fast cars and paparazzi-saturated weddings or dates. And it seems just like when they found it, that the next day we read that they cheated with their nanny or their housekeeper. It's because it's never enough. It's why the promotion, the new job, the bigger house, it's why none of that is ever enough. And it's also why the rest of us with fewer attributes, the rest of us, we find ourselves sometimes trapped in relationships that never seem to give us the approval and the affirmation and the affection that we so deeply and desperately need. And when we don't get it, it unleashes the ugliest parts of the human experience. In fact, I am convinced that every problem in the big W world, every ugly, awful thing in the world, in the big world and also in my world, can be traced back to this thumbprint of God. Every pain in your life and mine can be traced back to this thumbprint of God that I have tried to fill with other things and people, and place other things where only God should be. So the question is, how do we escape what I call the approval trap? How do we escape this trap that we've found ourselves in, where we are desperately looking for somebody, somewhere, to affirm the imago Dei in me, the thumbprint of God? And today I want to share with you that the only way to escape is what I call the Leah plan. So I want to say it again so you heard me correctly. I call this the Leah plan. Today we're going to be looking at one of the heroes of faith. We're in the book of Genesis still, and we've been walking through this series. We've been looking at the lives of five different heroes of faith. And today I want to introduce you to a hero of the faith. Her name is Leah. Now, on the surface, Leah's life does look dramatically different than yours and mine. But I think if you just peel back the surface layer, we can all see that Leah's life looks incredibly similar to the rest of our own lives. As a young woman, Leah wanted what everybody else wanted. She wanted a life that had meaning. She wanted a life that would be full of joy. She wanted a family. She wanted to be seen. She wanted to matter. She wanted so deeply and desperately to be loved. Now, unfortunately for Leah, she sat on the front row watching a younger sister with many more attributes than her own. She watched her navigate through life. Her younger sister's name is Rachel, her younger sister. She was confident. She was dashing. She knew how to succeed in a man's world. And on top of all that, she was beautiful. And Leah sat on the sidelines of Rachel's life, watching Rachel and watching Rachel's love life. In fact, the book of Genesis tells us about Rachel falling in love with the grandson of Abraham, a man named Jacob. So in a few months, we're going to walk through Jacob's story. But for now, we'll just share with you that Jacob is on his own journey. And Jacob, on a journey, he bumps into, he meets Rachel, and he falls madly in love with Rachel. Unfortunately for Jacob, he's sort of a runaway at this point in his life. He has nothing. And so when he goes to talk to a future father-in-law, he wants to gain affection and he wants to gain approval from the future father-in-law. And so what he does is he commits to this future father-in-law that he will work for him for 7 years to earn the right to marry Rachel and to start a life together. So he does. And many have titled this as just a super act of romance, that for 7 years he would work and he would slave to earn the right to marry Rachel. So he does. He works 7 years. And when the wedding day arrives, Jacob doesn't know this, but his future father-in-law, he substitutes Leah for Rachel. Substitutes Leah like she's a piece of collateral. Jacob wakes up the morning after the wedding, and he discovers that he's been now married to Leah. And what does he do? Unfortunately, they don't really address this in any sort of godly way. They just sort of sweep things under the rug, and they try to just kind of carry on in the same way they've been carrying on. And Jacob and Leah and now Rachel elect to try to navigate a life together, the three of them. And it is an absolute train wreck. It's a mess. This kind of life where they're all fighting for affection, approval, an affirmation, it brings competition and incredible amounts of pain, particularly in Leah's life. Leah just deeply and desperately wants to be seen. She wants to matter. She wants to be loved. And she does use all of her tools. Not only was she complicit with her dad in trying to trick Jacob into loving her, she continues the pattern. She tries, I'm sure she worked hard. We can see she uses her sexuality. She uses her ability to even have children to try to gain the affection and approval of a human being. And it's a trap. But fortunately for Leah, she finds freedom. Leah escapes the trap. It's a long journey, but she escapes the trap. She escapes the trap by allowing the thumb of God to fit into the thumbprint of her life. Now, maybe this morning, as we're talking, you're thinking a lot about your own struggle to find approval, affection, affirmation. And maybe this morning that you're wrestling with your own approval trap. And maybe as you're looking around this morning, you're seeing the mess that's been created in your life, the mess that's been created in your own family by this longing for something from another human being that they can never fill. And you may be asking this morning, how can I take a step out of this mess that I've created, this approval trap that has so destroyed my own heart or the life of my family? And I want us just for a moment to look at Leah's journey out of the approval trap into freedom. And we're just going to look at it briefly, because Leah actually sort of journals her journey out of the approval trap. She journals it in a very interesting way in the names of her children. So I'd like you to read along with me quickly in Genesis chapter 29. We're going to start reading verse 31, and we're going to read through verse 35. And then we're going to talk briefly about how you and I can follow Leah's example in escaping the approval trap. Verse 31 says, when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he enabled her to conceive, but Rachel remained childless. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and so she named her son Reuben, for she said, it is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now. Man, it's painful to even read, but there's some good stuff beginning to happen here in verse 32. Verse 33, it says, she conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too. So she named him Simeon. Verse 34, and she conceived again, and she gave birth to a son, and she said, now at last my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons, and so he was named Levi. Verse 35, she conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, this time I will praise the Lord. This time I will praise the Lord. So she named him Judah. And then she stopped having children. Verse 35 is a beautiful moment in Leah's life. This time, she has now found freedom by the thumb of God. Now let's talk just briefly about how she made this journey out of this approval trap that was destroying her and everything around her into freedom. Number one is Leah learned to lift her eyes up to the God who sees. Verse 32, this is where it all starts. It says, Leah became pregnant, gave birth to a son, and she named him Reuben, for she said, it is because the Lord has seen my misery. The beginning of Leah's journey, the beginning of her journey out of this trap, starts with lifting her eyes up to see the God who sees. Now, God always sees. God has seen everything about your life and mine. He's been watching you even before you were born. His eyes have been on you. And what God has been waiting for is he's been waiting for you to lift your eyes out of the addiction to this approval trap. And I use the word addiction intentionally because the approval trap is very addictive. We start on it early, we try to gain approval, and when we get a little bit, it just fuels that and we want more. Or if we don't get the approval we seek, we sulk a little bit and we imagine that if I work even harder, maybe I'll get it. I can get it like they seem to get it or they seem to get it, and it becomes so addictive. And God is waiting for you and me to lift our eyes up out of the addiction to finding approval from people, to lift our eyes up to see him. In John chapter 12, Jesus said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. Now, Jesus was certainly talking about him being crucified on the cross, but he's talking about something more important. That when men and women lift their eyes up and see him and recognize what he has come for and what he has done, that is the beginning of the healing process in your life and mine. Just lifting our eyes up out of the mess. Now, Leah is not free from it yet. She's just now lifting up and recognizing that God is here, God sees, and God knows her pain. The second step out of the approval trap is confiding in the one who hears. Verse 33 says, she conceived again. And when she gave birth to a son, she said, because the Lord has heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too. This is actually beautiful. Leah says here, I've been talking to God about this. And I'm now recognizing that God is hearing my prayers, that he's hearing me because I have begun to confide the pain inside, the hurt inside, because I'm not getting the affection, the approval, the affirmation that I long for. I'm confiding now in God, and I'm seeing and sensing that he's here, and he's hearing me. And in the New Testament, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And Jesus says, I will give you rest. I'm here. It's not just that I see, and I see from a distance, but I'm here to walk through this with you. And Jesus said in John 6, he said, whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. What an incredible invitation. Where God's inviting you and me out of this twisted, destructive approval path into freedom. And it first starts just lifting our eyes out of the addiction. And second, it's just coming and calling out to God, and it's there that he begins to heal. And then the third step is Leah surrenders to the one who waits. This is the most important step in this process. And it may be exactly why you are here this morning and part of this service, just to hear this. It says in verse 35, at the culmination of Leah's journey, she conceived again. And when she gave birth to the son, she said, this time, she's making a decision. She's making a decision on that day to change. I'm going to do it different from here on out. This time, she says, I will praise the Lord. And so she named him Judah, and then she stopped having children. Leah finally, after a long journey, first just seeing and recognizing that God sees and beginning to confide her hurts and her longings to the heart of God, now she makes a decision that today she is going to surrender that approval need from other people, and she's going to surrender it to the thumb of God. God, I recognize that you are all I need. And you see, that's why Jesus came. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. He's waiting for you and I to surrender, to finally trust that he is enough. Now, that surrender is a one-time deal. You know, it all starts that way. That there's a moment in your life, and maybe it's this morning, it's a moment in your life where you say, I'm done. I can still love people. I can still serve people. I can still be Jesus to people, but I'm done being wrapped up with this approval trap. I am surrendered to Jesus being all in my life. But it's also a daily surrender. That's why I love that not only did she make that declaration, she named her little baby boy Judah, so that every day of her life, as she's holding that little baby, as she's nursing that baby, as she's caring for that little son, she's constantly declaring, God, you are enough. I will praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul writes this. He says, I now have been crucified with Christ. I'm surrendered. I'm now crucified. He says, and I no longer live. But now what happens is Christ lives in me. And now the life I live in the body, I live this life by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, now I have finally discovered the value, the purpose, the meaning, the significance, the love that I have longed for because I surrendered. I died to trying to continue to find approval, affection, and affirmation through other people. And now I've surrendered to Christ and I am a brand new man. 2 Corinthians 5 says, now if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. And let me invite you today. Let me invite you today as a fellow journeyer and away from this approval trap. Surrender today and make the decision every day forward to say, God, through Jesus Christ and his grace and mercy, I am redeemed. And that is enough. So this morning, I want to encourage you to take a step out of the approval trap and watch God's new creation be breathed into you and into your family, into your circle. Let it happen today. Would you pray with me right now? Jesus, we thank you for the example of Leah. We hurt for the kind of pain and the mess that was created in our life. But as we see that, we recognize that we have created our own messes. We have created our own pain. We have been complicit because we have put things and particularly people in the place where only God belongs. We know deep down inside that not only you exist, but we know that you have made us in the image of you. And that the only way that things can be whole is if you and I are completely restored. So Jesus, would you heal and forgive? Jesus, I'm surrendering my life to you. And I'm sensing and knowing and recognizing today that that is enough. Would you say that this morning? Jesus, I'm surrendering to you. And I know that that is enough. Jesus, I pray right now that you would bring some incredible healing, that a new creation will begin in some lives, in some marriages, some relationships and homes because of what just happened here. I pray that a miracle has been born. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor John. Such a phenomenal reminder and such a phenomenal message. In just a few moments, I'm going to pray over some prayer requests. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to text in your prayer request if you haven't already done that to our prayer line. But I wanted to point out one thing that Pastor John, that spoke to my heart. The thing that I love about hearing about these great heroes throughout the gospel narrative and story, specifically people like our great women like Leah, is although there was a lot of pain in which Pastor John talked about, a lot of reality. I couldn't imagine the plight of having the pressure of dealing with of being married or being aligned to someone where you're having to earn their approval. But what I love is that she put her faith in God. And it was through her faithfulness that birthed, or her seed would birth the line that would prepare a way for Jesus. Because Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. David was from the tribe of Judah. So it was through her faithfulness that birthed the seed that would prepare the way for Jesus. It was through her faithfulness. I'm gonna. If maybe you join with me. Maybe you can. Raise, wherever you are, raise a hand towards the screen, or maybe you can just lift your hand as we just go through some prayer requests. We know that this is we're dealing with a global pandemic, and we know that there are a lot of people that are hurting, and we want to be intentional about creating a space to invite God into the middle of our situations, whether it be a praise of where we're lamenting, whether it be a moment where we need God to heal and restore, is we just want to create a space where, as Jesus reminded us, that his church would be a house of prayer. So I'm going to read through just a few prayer requests this morning. So there's just a friend reminded us to take a few moments to thank God for a successful heart surgery. So we're going to add them into our prayer. We have there's a family that wants us to be intentional with praying with them as they're navigating life after a cousin's loss through suicide. So we want to be mindful that we're praying for these families. And just be praying for all of the family and those that are involved. We also want to be intentional with just praying for, there's a family that's asking for just guidance as they're navigating through some uncertainties in their child's health, where they're just asking for discernment. They're asking for that we would pray over their mental state as they're awaiting whatever the doctor may find, and they're looking for some clarity in their child's health. There's a friend that just found out they had a brain tumor. There's a friend that they're praying for their son that's in college away, so they want to keep them in prayer, and hopefully they're able to come home for Christmas. Have a friend that's with us asking for prayer as they move into a potentially new musical career, and they just have a new baby girl. We also have some friends that just said that they begin testing to see if they're eligible for the double lung transplant. So there's a lot of prayer needs that we want to continue to be mindful that we're thinking about individuals. We have a friend that just asking for healing. They healing and restoration from COVID. There's a family that's praying that they've been struggling with low blood pressure due to diabetes. We just got a text message that just came in. There's a friend that is having eye surgery on the 16th and hip replacement coming up as well. So let's just do this. Wherever you are, why don't you maybe lift up a hand? We're going to invite God into the areas in our life where unfortunately we can't do for ourselves, where we need God, we need His wisdom. So dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You're with us. You have all throughout Scripture, all throughout the biblical narrative, You have reminded us of who You are to the point, God, that You would tell us Your name is Jehovah Jireh, which means our provider. You've reminded us, God, that You're our banner. And so, God, when we're in places or seasons of life where we need covering, God, we could call on You, and we know how to ask You to arrive into the middle of our mess. Lord, You've also reminded us that Your name is Jehovah Rapha, which means our healer. And so, God, we're checking You in right now for those that are hurting, those that need restoration, those who need healing. God, whether it be mentally, physically, emotionally, God, we just check You in, Jehovah Rapha, to heal on our behalf. Lord, we're praying for wisdom for our friends that are navigating through these uncertainties in their health. Lord, we're asking right now that You would give wisdom to the doctors, to the nurses. Lord, that You would bring clarity, that God, that You would do what the doctors can't do. You're the great physician. And so, Lord, we know You're in the people business and You use people. But, Lord, I pray that You would even shock the doctors, that the doctors would be amazed at how well they're able to navigate through the healing process. And for those that are preparing to have surgery, I'm praying that You would allow them to have a healthy, not only a successful surgery, but a speedy recovery. Lord, we're praying for all of our friends that are transitioning into whether it be new careers or new jobs. Lord, we're praying protection over babies. Lord, we're praying healing over friends that are dealing with, that have transacted, have caught COVID-19. We're praying healing over them, protection over the body. Lord, we're praying for young children that are away from home in college. And their parents are asking, you know, just prayerfully asking that their sons and daughters can return from college. Lord, we pray for all the babies that are in school right now doing online learning. We pray for all the mamas and all the daddies that are engaging in the online learning experience. We know how tough that journey has been in itself. And so, Lord, we're just asking that in the areas where we can't, that God, You would show us that You're possible. There are things that God, as You, Jesus, You said Yourself, that are impossible to man, but are possible to God. So we're going to let go and let God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let everybody say amen and amen and amen. So before I let you go, there's just a few quick announcements that I want to make sure that I give you. I want to first remind you that we do have a guide where you can follow us along in our ICU series, where you could receive some details there by texting Devo to our prayer line. So I want to make sure that you can get a complimentary devotional. The next is just a reminder of our pop-up location. So whether you're, like I said, although we are social distancing, it doesn't have to be emotional distancing. We do have pop-up locations at our Puyallup campus. That is meeting at the Puyallup Fruitland Grange at 10 a.m. We have our Tacoma campus that's meeting at 11:15 a.m. at Bethlehem Lutheran. And we have our Lakewood campus, our pop-up location at 5:15 p.m. at the Youth and Activity Center at the First Baptist Lakewood. All right, well, just to close out, I want to pray this blessing over you. And maybe you can repeat this over your family, over your life. Maybe you can grab your family, those are your friends, whoever you're sitting with, whoever's around you. You grab your dog, right? You grab whoever's by you. And we're just going to pray this blessing over your life. You can repeat after me. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. And may the Lord give you peace. God bless you. You have a great Sunday morning. discovery.
Children, may his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children.